Good intentions are something that comes from us. And if we can change our mind and have a God intention, understand what God's intention is at that moment in time, it can change everything.
Boy, we're live here at the Intentional Living Studio today, and we're going to continue on day three as I take part of the program here to share a couple more excerpts from my four-day teaching on the topic of overcoming procrastination, or we call it good intentions. How we overcome those good intentions in life, you know, the things we want to do and we know we should do and decisions we need to make spiritually, in our marriage, in our finances, in our health, in our work, and we put them off and we put them off and we put them off, and pretty soon we get bit, don't we? How do we turn these good intentions into God's intention? And I'm going to share with you from my favorite character in the Old Testament, Nehemiah. And this guy is a guy that when he had to make a decision what he was going to do, he decided to act. We're going to get to that in just a moment.
From the studios of the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, the founder and president of the Intentional Living Center and your advocate for the family. Today marks part three of Randy's four-part series entitled From Good Intentions to God's Intentions. Now, to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. We're going to get right into the teaching. By the way, every week I get a chance to teach my staff and visitors who stop by our center here. And we share all of this teaching, by the way, with our members. That's some of the benefits of being monthly members. But today we're going to be telling you how you can get this entire teaching in just a minute. But let's start with this day number three, talking about my friend Nehemiah. I'm going to show you from Scripture in a moment what I think happens to us spiritually and psychologically at this moment in time. This is kind of a high moment. I will do this later. This is a good intention. All of us here today have good intentions, right? I mean, if I ask you all to share with me a good intention, we could all share one or two that we have that we can respond to in terms of where we are. Here's what happens. It happened to Felix, and it happens to us. We get the good intention, and then it turns, what, to busyness. Our minds start getting involved with other things. We have other priorities. We have other issues. We have other demands. Other things come in the way. Other things seem more important. Felix says, it's not convenient. Go away, and I'll call you at another time. And busyness ultimately leads to procrastination. And I could have added, after procrastination leads to what? Guilt. How many of us struggle with that? We know we're procrastinating upon a good intention, something that we ought to do, and then the guilt sets in. Satan uses that in our life. And we get in trouble every time. Now, there's a healthier path. Let me take you through what I believe God teaches us in the example of another person. And if you'll turn with me to, I think some of you know where I'm going to go, my favorite character in the Old Testament is Nehemiah. Because he goes through the same cycle, but he makes a very important decision at the point of good intention. And you can see I've changed the name from good intention to God's intention. And this is, God really revealed this to me this week, that good intentions are something that comes from us. And if we can change our mind and have a God intention, understand what God's intention is at that moment in time, it can change everything. Let's look at Nehemiah chapter 1. You know the story. You've got Nehemiah in the palace of this Persian king. He's a Jew. His friends come from the homeland, and he asks the question concerning what's going on back home. And they respond to him in verse 3, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are burned with fire. God's people have been in captivity now for years, 70 years or more, okay? And they are discouraged. They don't know what the future holds. You've got Nehemiah in this palace of the king. And he's asking the question, what's going on back home? And they give him the report that the gates are burned and the walls have been destroyed. Listen to what happens here. Nehemiah is going through the same cycle. First of all, he recognizes there's a need back home. He's interested enough that he asked the right question. See? He's interested. Tell me what's going on back home. I want to know what's happening. And now he has an opportunity to respond. Felix got to this place, and what did he do? His response was fear, right? And rejecting and saying, go away from me and I'll call you back later. That's not what Nehemiah does. Listen to what Nehemiah does. So it was when I heard these things that I sat down and I wept and I mourned for many days. I fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And then the next several verses, he goes into this, after this fasting and praying that some scholars say lasted for at least a month, he gives this great prayer to God. See? This is what I want to get across if I can today. We joke about good intentions, and that's a good intention. And this is what's convicting to me. He did not go from a response to a good intention. He went from a response to a God intention. He wanted to know what God wanted him to do in response to the need that was in front of him. See? And instead of going into busyness and procrastination, Nehemiah took a different path. See? And look at what he did here. He prayed, he fasted, he prayed to God, and then he put a plan together. See?
Dr. Randy will continue his teaching on Nehemiah in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Have you ever wondered, if God is real, why has he let me go through so much pain?
This is the Intentional Living Minute. Here's psychologist Dr. Gregory Jantz, our intentional mental health specialist.
In counseling, when somebody starts to really understand what's happened to them, many times it brings up the dark parts of that story. And you ask, where was God when I was going through that? The bad things that happen to you can distort your view of who you really are. When you let God reintroduce you to your real self, you are healing. God created you as a beautiful and special child of His. He has kept that shining core of you safe in the middle of all the mess. It doesn't matter what happened to you. God is still able to find you and bring you back to yourself. Just ask. For Intentional Living, this is Dr. Greg Jantz.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com.
That was his biggest complaint. You know, once I got my volume in tune, our fighting and arguing and even the nagging, I think, came way down. The part of my nagging that was so bad was that it escalated always into a knockdown, drag-out fight. My secret was that Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit have a still, small voice, and it couldn't be heard because I was always talking, always nagging. And once I calmed that down and quieted myself, the Holy Spirit would convict him immediately, and I could see the change. And often it was literally within minutes, but as long as my jaws were going, nothing was changing.
That's so true in life, isn't it? She's talking about the impact of making the choice and the decision in her marriage made the difference for her. And it's the kind of stories we hear from people who attend our intentional love, or what we call our intentional love marriage conference events. And we're doing something we've never done before. We're doing some right here in the summer. We're calling it a sort of a summer date break. And I'm going to be in the Phoenix Valley area, starting in Mesa with an Intentional Love Marriage Conference on Friday night. That's in Mesa, July the 15th, 7 o'clock. We're going to have about 2.5-3 hours, a great date kind of experience for you. Johnny and Stacy Stone from Family Life Radio will be with me. And then the next day, we're going to be over in Glendale at the Glendale Nazarene Church, Saturday afternoon, July 16th at 3 o'clock. And then I'm going to be at the Youth Haven Ranch in Michigan in Rives Junction the following Saturday, July 23rd, for a morning event, 9 o'clock in the morning, for couples. It's good. You know what? We're going to unpack what it means to have intentional love in your marriage. It's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you'll come, and a lot of learning. We have limited seating for these events. Get your tickets today. Very meaningful time for you and your spouse. Bring some other couples with you. Make it a date experience, maybe coming as a group. All the proceeds go to the ministry and the impact and benefit for your marriage and family. Just go to theintentionallife.com to register, theintentionallife.com, and you can register today. All right, let's get back to the teaching as I continue talking about Nehemiah and the fact that he chose to go in a different direction. When he was challenged, when he got that information, when he learned that he had to make a decision, what did he do? And we're talking about turning good intentions into God's intentions. So let's get back to the teaching. Nehemiah took a different path. See? And look at what he did here. He prayed, he fasted, he prayed to God, and then he put a plan together. See? We see that in chapter 2. So he went to the king, and the king says, "Why are you here?" And he says, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it." That's powerful. This is really practical. Let's be real practical about this. We're struggling with something in our life. Your marriage is in a mess. You're not getting along with your spouse. But you're interested, and you know that God has an intention for this. And instead of having a good intention that says, "Well, you know, I'm going to start next week, be a better husband, or I'm going to go to that conference or read a book or whatever." What Nehemiah did is the thing that you and I need to do whenever we get to this place. He absolutely stopped everything and he turned to God and he said, "God, what is your intention about this situation?" I am convinced, and this is very convicting to me, if I were to stop when I'm struggling eating healthy and I stopped and didn't say I have a good intention, but I said, "God, what is your intention for my health?" It's revealed. That changes everything. If I get to a place where we got financial issues and we don't say, "Well, a good intention is to put a budget together next week or analyze the finances," but to stop and not look at it from a human perspective, but at this moment in time, to say, "God, what is your intention for my finances that you've put into my hands?" I'm going to get a different answer. See? And Nehemiah got a different answer. Nehemiah got an answer from God that says, "Get up out of this palace, go to that king, give him a plan, and then to do the next thing that we see in a God-intentioned life is to take action." We see that later in chapter 2. It says here in verse 18, "And I told them," telling the people now back in the land, "I told them of the hand of God which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he has spoken to me. So they said, 'Let us rise up and build.' Then they set their hands to do this good work. And in 52 days, Nehemiah rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem." Now, again, when we're talking about intentional living here in this ministry, and for those of you listening to this CD, those of you who are supporting this ministry, I have to make an assumption that you're doing that because you believe that this message is important to get out and that you want to be a part of this journey of not living a life of good intentions that leads to procrastination, but a life of intentional living that leads actually to completion of the things that matter most. You and I can get distracted about a lot of things, right? And even those who are very well organized and have a long list of to-do and you get them all done, you check them all off, Are you doing the right things? Are you focusing on the right priorities? So this is more than just about procrastination. This is about setting the right priorities and doing the right things. Felix is an example of a person who made the wrong decision. Nicodemus, perhaps, made the wrong decision. Certainly the rich young ruler who walked away. All of them had good intentions. We get up every day and have good intention. To get in the shower in the mornings to have a good intention. I don't believe that the average Christian person gets up in the day with bad intentions. Some people have bad intentions. We know that. There are evil people with bad intentions. We know that. You know, the reality is people with bad intentions are more intentional than those of us with good intentions. They're passionate about their bad intentions. They have motivation. They have a cause. They have a purpose. They take their bad intentions and they drive it right through to putting a plan together. I know for me, you know, I struggle with good intentions. You know, one of the things I recognize is that we have too many good intentions. I think that's where we get in trouble. We get up in the day and I have a good intention to do this and a good intention to do that and a good intention to do the other thing. And pretty soon I do nothing. That's why for me every day this one thing says, what is the one thing I can have a good intention about today and actually do it? See? And honor God with that one thing. Back here in Intentional Living Studio, that's in continuation of the teaching on good intentions to God's intention, day 3. We have one more day tomorrow as I pull all of this together. And just before we move on, I have a conversation coming up with a college student and her experience. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. But before I do that, I want to remind you that when you support the Ministry of Intentional Living, you allow me and our team, along with you in partnership, to get this message of hope out around the world. And what we love to do is get into your hands teaching. We love to get into your hands practical things that you can use in your life. And this entire 4-day teaching on good intentions to God's intentions, overcoming procrastination is really the core of this, and making a decision and then living by it and acting on it, is our gift to you when you share the best gift you can with our ministry today. All you have to do is go online and share the hit the donate button, and you can share. Or during West Coast business hours, you can call. Our web address as you go now is to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Or you can call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, and press number 4. And one of our staff will pick up and be happy to sign you up and say thank you for your support. Okay, go to theintentionallife.com or call 888-1717. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you for standing with the ministry. By the way, if you have a comment about overcoming procrastination, we'd love to have you share with us on our comment line when you call 888-1717.
Hi, this is Stephen Davis, and I've got a conversation starter for you. Dr. Randy talks about making the big decisions first. So when it's time to make the smaller everyday ones, you're able to align them with the big decisions you've already made. King David gives us a great example of this in Psalm 18. He begins, "I love you, Lord. You are my strength." Imagine what your life would be like if you began every prayer the way David did here. "I love you, Lord. You are my strength." What about beginning every conversation that way? Now, granted, you don't have to say it out loud, especially in a normal day-to-day conversation. But just before you open your mouth, what if you breathed, "I love you, Lord. You are my strength"? We're talking a conversation revolution here, and maybe even a life revolution. Just after David finished this short, big decision prayer, everything went south. He said, "The ropes of death entangled me. The floods of destruction swept over me." Have you faced the ropes of death or the floods of destruction? The tragedies and heartbreaks of life can be overwhelming. But if you can frame them with the proclamation, "I love you, Lord," then you've placed your life into His context. Jesus taught on the same context when He said, "Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world." And that's the reason you can tell Jesus, "I love you, Lord. You are my strength." For Intentional Living, I'm Stephen Davis.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate you sharing that. Steve has a heart to share God's word and growing intentionally in your faith. And we have a caller standing by. Casey's on the line in Georgia, and I'm going to get to her in just a moment. But I want to remind you again, if you have a story you'd like to share with us or a comment, you can go to our Facebook. That's Facebook/intentionalliving. Come to our website at theintentionallife.com, where you can get the resources available for you, or take our free online teaching that's available to you, or sign up for one of our conferences, or call during West Coast business hours at 888-888-1717. All right, Casey's on the line in Georgia. Casey, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good.
It says here you're a college student.
Yes, I am a fourth-year senior, and I have put myself all the way through school without parental support, just working one to two jobs at a time while a full-time student.
Good for you. What are you going to graduate with? What's your major?
Undergrad is psychology, and then I've got to take a little time to save some money, and then I got to go to grad school for clinical social work.
Good for you. You want to help people.
Abused children in particular, yeah. Good. I've done a lot of volunteering and trying to invest in youth populations.
Good for you. What? How were you raised to be this type of, you know, confident? Let's go out there. Let me do this. You know, I don't need others' help. So, I mean, what? How did you get to be like who you are today?
Honestly, you'd probably be a little surprised by my answer. I grew up in an abusive home. I had two sets of parents, each in their own way, who were very abusive and neglectful. And I kind of went through a crisis, but I clung to faith for a long time. And when I got to college, I hit bottom. And I started kind of falling apart. My health was deteriorating. And that's when I got to know God as a Savior who wasn't going to judge me and wasn't going to throw me to the wayside. And he kind of pulled me out of it and early on showed me a passion for children because I could relate, but then later gave me a lot of strength and a lot of fortitude, and I've just kind of refused to quit.
Good for you. So Christ is real in your life.
Absolutely, yeah. He's very sarcastic with me. Sometimes when I talk to my friends about our conversations, they're like, I don't understand this person, but it works. We get along.
So. Good for you. Casey, thank you. God bless you, and may he grant you great success as you move into this next stage of your life of helping others in need. And I pray it'll be a life of service and a life of continued growth in your walk with Christ.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate it. Bless you, too.
Thank you. Appreciate your call.
My name is Kathy. I have a daughter who is now 30. When she was 26, she was talking to me, and she said she no longer believes in God because of the bad things that happen to people. And I asked her if there was anything I could say that would change her mind, and she said no. I said, okay, that's fine. I said, can I pray for you? And she said, well, if you still believe, then yes, you can. And I told her that I was convicted of my faith, and we talked about it for a while. And she asked me where she would go if she were laying on her deathbed right now and I were talking to her, and I told her she would go to hell. And here's the thing that impressed me most. She thanked me for being honest with her, because she said most of the Christian friends that she had, when she told them that she no longer believed in God, they all said, well, you know, maybe you won't go to hell because God knows your heart and he's the only one that does and he's the only one that can judge. She thanked me for being honest with her. And that's kind of where we're at right now. I leave it in God's hands. He knows everything that's going to happen to everybody in their life throughout their entire life. So he knows if she's going to come back to him or not. But every day, out loud in the morning, I do pray that he fills her heart with the Holy Spirit and pulls her back to him. It saddens me. It frightens me. But I leave it in God's hands. And we do talk about faith. She just informs me she still doesn't believe. And that's my story. Bye.
One of these days we all will stand in judgment for every single word that we have spoken. One of these days we all will stand before the Lord and give a reason for everything. I trust in
You know, wow, as I'm listening to that, you really see the contrast between those, you know, the caller and the testimony. It's different stories. And I think as we focus on this topic of overcoming procrastination and making decisions, to realize that we're talking about ourselves. You know, we can only overcome our own procrastination. We can only make our own decisions. And I think as a parent, our hearts sometimes ache because we see our children or grandchildren or people that we love in our family, when they're at a point of making a decision, they either don't make it thinking that procrastination is going to be good for them, but a lack of a decision is a decision, as we've talked about. And so we got to pray for her, and I know she's hurting, and of course each of us, that we would get to a place where we realize that at the end of the day, we don't want to be locked in procrastination. We don't want to be stuck with indecision, but to act. I'll be back with day four tomorrow, and we're going to wrap up this 4 days of focusing on good intentions to God's intentions. And a reminder that this entire series is available to you on CD. We're making it available to those who are sharing a gift with the ministry. If you're able to do that, we'd appreciate it. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com to share your gift, or talk to one of our staff during West Coast Business Hours at 888-888-1717. That's 888-888-1717. And press prompt number 4, and that'll take you right to our staff. And I just want to say thank you for standing with us here as we enter into the summer months. Your support means an awful lot. And by the way, those who join monthly, the Intentional Living team, receive my ongoing teaching every month. And so consider that when you call or go online. Well, we'll be back with part four, the last of these 4 days, tomorrow on the program, and love to have you join us. So we'll see you then from Intentional Living.